Kathy's pregnant. No, I'm just kidding. It's a miracle. No, listen, we got something to rejoice about here. Stop laughing, Dana. It's okay. He was really nervous. He thinks that's prophetic. No, this family's really been blessed. Not only have they moved into a new home, but Dana got a promotion at work, and Kathy just got a new job as well. So proud of them and so excited for them. God, it's a real blessing. So it's Alyssa, right?
Yeah.
Alyssa wants to share something that she feels the Lord wants her to share, and she asked me about it, and I said, well, that's prophetic because of what we're talking about today. So you're on.
All right.
Can I wear your hat while you do that?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I've been doing a 30-day challenge in a book, and I got to do it day by day, and it talks about the stuff in your room or you naturally have in your room, and it was talking about the lamp, and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, it's talking about a light. I really don't care. But it really caught me because it was like, the guy was asking me questions, and he's like, do you want to be a candle and easily be blown out just by one little thing happening? Just one little thing, an animal dying or something like that, and just get knocked out and be mad and mean to everyone for the rest of the day? Or do you want to be a flashlight and work when you want to and shine brightly when you want to and show people God, but then the next day, everyone's asking, where'd God go in you? What happened to you? Or be the spotlight and just shine above everyone and show everyone, no matter what happens to you, you could be knocked off your face, walk right off the stage, and get up and say, God's going to bless me no matter what, and show God to everyone.
Hallelujah.
And be that spotlight towards everyone and bless everyone every day, no matter what they do to you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Alyssa. Thank you. I just totally love when God does that because it really falls in line with what we're talking about. Well, what we will be talking about for the next 3 years, and that's the book of Acts. Well, my name is Pastor Scott Weens. I'm a teaching pastor here, and I want to show of hands all the new people. First-timers here. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Welcome. Glad you joined us today. I hope that you sense that you're in the middle of a family, because that's truly what we are here, is we're a family, and we're glad that you're here with us. So, we are preaching through the book of Acts, and last week, Pastor Robert gave us a wonderful foundational message on the book of Acts, and if you recall, I'm going to click through here, if you recall, he broke the book of Acts into certain divisions. I'm going to click here, there we go. So he broke it into basically five different divisions. And as most of you know, the book of Acts is a history of the New Testament church. If you did not have the book of Acts, you would go from the death of Jesus straight into Romans. And that'd be rather intimidating for anybody who's read Romans. You're like, what happened? You know, who are the Romans? I mean, what is this church in Rome that we're talking? We don't know about where they came from. Well, the book of Acts ties all that together. The book of Acts is also interesting because it's written by a gentleman by the name of Luke. And Luke was an apostle, right? No, that's right. Luke was not one of the original 12 disciples. He was someone that we know through the book of Acts. He hung around Paul a lot, that's for sure. He was a physician. And for anybody who studied the Gospels, they will tell you that the book of Acts is the most detailed record. And really, the Gospel of Luke is the most detailed record you're going to have with regards to the Gospels. Typically, when it talks about, you know, for all of you know, obviously, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they mirror each other. They're synoptic. They kind of fall in place. So one story told in Luke will also be told in Matthew, sometimes in all three Gospels. Well, what's interesting is Luke's Gospel, typically, if you really want to find out what went on, you dig over there, because most of the time there'll be more detail in there. That's Luke was a physician. I guess that's he was just detailed that way. And basically, Acts is volume 2. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the very last chapter in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, I want to read that last section. In Luke 24, beginning in verse 36, I'm just going to read this section here because it is an absolute mirror, not perfect mirror, but it is the same story that we're just about to read in Acts 1, verse 11. So we're starting in Luke 24, beginning in 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. Beginning at Jerusalem, of course, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have received and have been clothed with power from on high." And then verse 50 through 53 talks about the ascension. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into the heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So this is the last act of Jesus Christ on the earth. And I used to think that the disciples, when we find them at the day of Pentecost, were huddled in an upper room, all kind of scared and frightened. And that's really not true, because we see they were continually at the temple praising God, which must have had all kinds of, or created all kinds of problems for the Jews, because the Jews obviously did not accept Jesus. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look through the same account in the book of Acts. And we're starting in verse 1 and going to verse 11. And as we go through this, I've named this message Foundations of Faith. Because in this first 11 verses, in this same account in the book of Acts, there are four pivotal foundations that every Christian has to have in their life. And we're going to pull them out. And I think it's no accident that they're laid out the way they are. So if you can, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. I didn't put everything down in writing here, so if you have your Bibles, please pull them out, or your phones. How many people use phone Bibles? Okay. So all the ushers, watch them, make sure they're not texting somebody. All right. So let's begin. So in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, "In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." Stop. Now, what I find interesting here, by the way, Theopolis is more than a tongue twister. I don't know if you've ever heard of the tongue twister called Theopolis Thistle, the thistle sifter. If you haven't, we can talk about it later. It's a real tongue twister. It's one we used to use in college when trying to learn articulation. But Theopolis, some people think, was actually a Roman citizen, like somebody high up in the Rome that Luke was actually writing to kind of try to persuade or to give the evidence of Jesus Christ. And so this basically, these first verses is where Luke is saying, this is part two. I wrote the Gospel of Luke, this is part two. And he's leading into it. But I think the thing that's really interesting to begin with is it says, Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. And, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Why do you think Luke said that? Why do you think he said giving instructions through the Holy Spirit? We know Jesus is Jesus, right? Why didn't he just say giving instructions to the apostles? Well, I think it's pretty interesting that the theme of the Holy Spirit is through this whole section. And you're going to see that Luke identifies that everything Jesus did was through the Holy Spirit. He's going to identify that the Holy Spirit is what was going to build the church. He, the Holy Spirit, inside the disciples, empowering them, was going to build this church. And even to the very last, we'll read to the very last, you'll see the Holy Spirit is involved all through this. So in verse 3, it says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." This leads us to our first foundation. And that foundation is called belief. If you think about it, why did Luke decide to overemphasize the fact that Jesus showed up in flesh, in resurrected flesh? Why? Well, I think it's evident, but I want to bring it out. And that is, they had to believe and know that they know and believe without a doubt that Jesus was resurrected. You follow me? It's belief at its core. Jesus didn't come back just once and say, "See, here I am. You want to pinch me? Thomas, you want to put your finger in my side? Here I am. Okay, good. That's done. See you later. I got an appointment with God the Father." He didn't say that. He appeared many times. In the account we just read in Luke, what did he say to them that was rather odd for a resurrected human being? He said, "Give me some broiled fish." "Excuse me, you just got raised from the dead? You really need fish?" I think he did it as just another proof. Just another proof that his body was resurrected. He wasn't some ghost. He wasn't some figment, some apparition. He was the risen Jesus Christ. And without that, and without knowing that, these men who are going to be called to die for their beliefs and to die for the kingdom of God and to die for their testimony that Jesus was king, they needed to know and know that they knew without a doubt. I sometimes try to place myself in the position of one of these disciples at the moment that they're facing martyrdom. And I think, what must have been going through their head? You know, one of the proofs that Jesus was truly here and that Jesus was who he was the fact that many people went to their death and died gruesome deaths for him. A lot of people can start a lie or start a myth, but most people aren't going to die for a myth. These people died painful deaths. Some of them were beheaded. Those were the lucky ones. They said Paul was crucified upside down. Crucifixion is going to be hard enough. I can only imagine what that would be like. But they did it because they knew, because they saw. And this was a foundation. And so if you were to apply that today, you might say, "Well, thank you, Pastor Scott, but I haven't talked to Jesus face to face. And how does this apply to me?" Well, the concept is you have the Holy Spirit. And you have the conviction. And if you haven't met Jesus Christ yet, you need to and you will. Because that core belief is the foundation that everything is built on. Everything is built on. I dare say that if tomorrow Christianity was made illegal, and suddenly, and I feel like in some ways we are in the minority already, but if it got to a point where we would begin persecuted, how many of us would show up here? How many of us would still have the little fish sticker on our bumpers? Or the Z88? You see, belief means you die for it. Belief means you die for it. I have a statement here. It says, "Your faith will never advance beyond your belief." I've met people, and I've been one of them, who said, "I believe in God, but my belief held back my faith because I truly didn't believe." Because if you truly believe, you'll be living a transformed life because you will have been transformed in the inside out. And you can't help but believe, and your faith gets stronger and stronger. Brethren, we have to believe. And our belief is tested at times through different events that happen, different things that shake us a little bit. And if you recall, those who were here, I preached on doubt, the difference between doubt and belief. And the thing is, we're all going to go through those periods, but when we come off the other side, we're to be stronger. To be stronger, rooted more. I love talking to people who've been walking with the Lord for long periods of time. You can just sense it in them. There's this assurance that Paul talks about. They're assured in their faith. They know what they believe. We need to know that same thing. Because if you haven't been tested, you will be tested at some time. You will be tested. You haven't figured out we're in the end times, just keep hanging around. The second foundation for the believer is power. Let's read verse 4 through verse 7. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's almost like they wanted to change the subject. Yeah, but okay, gotcha. Holy Spirit's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's kingdom stuff. When do we get to kick the Romans out? And look what he said. Look what he says. Shut up. That's what he says, basically. No, he said, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has sent by his own authority. Changes the subject back and says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love what Jesus does. You know, you can't blame the disciples. They were indoctrinated by their Jewish culture that they came out of. Everything was about becoming free from the Roman rule. They lived and they had been indoctrinated their whole life into wanting to see the Romans unseated and for them to be free and for God to restore Israel. That's what they kept thinking. So they kept going back to that. And it's interesting that if you go back up to verse 3, let's see. Yeah, at the end of verse 3, he says, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. You might say, well, wait, now Jesus was egging them on because he kept talking about the kingdom of God. He was speaking to them about the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God is in you and me and is in the transformed lives of those who have given themselves over to Jesus Christ. Yes, we have a kingdom of God coming that'll be reestablished, and we can go to Isaiah and Ezekiel, and we can read a lot about that. We can go to Revelation and read about that. But the reality was Jesus saying, guys, you don't get it. I got a work to do. I got a job for you. I'm going to go prepare a way for you. Yes, I'll do that. I'll prepare a way for you. But before any of that happens, you have to go out and you have to spread this message to the world. That's what his focus was. So even though they tried to take him off focus, he kept bringing them right back. Here. That's what we need to do. The power. Brethren, the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit that is talked about here, and we'll get to that in a couple weeks, is an amazing story. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is the ability for us to obey and for us to walk forward. It is the motivation for everything we do. And we've had a journey going on here at the church at Whistling Pines, and it's exciting because what we're seeing is people beginning to follow his leading. And it's beautiful to watch. No, it's beautiful to experience. Beautiful to experience. Someone said the other day that one of our young people were praying over them. And this person had their eyes closed, and someone came up and started praying over them. And the words were so powerful. And so prophetic. He had to finally look up and see who it was. And he went, wow. That's Mickey. I'm going to embarrass you, Mickey. Here's a young man that God's working with. And God's working with all of us. But yet, God used Mickey to be able to really speak to this man. This is the kind of thing that we want to see. Because I could preach the greatest message ever preached. Not going to happen, but I could, maybe. And it wouldn't impact you as much as when God gets a hold of you to minister to somebody else. Amen? You agree with that? Amen? When you actually are used by God to do something wonderful, great, and you see him and you sense him and you're just like, that was you, God, that wasn't me. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a high no drug can give you. Because it's a heavenly high. It has eternal purposes. And that's so much better than anything we can do, any great thing we can do here on this earth today. The Holy Spirit is the essential power. And you know what's happened sometimes, I believe, is so we have crosses on both sides here, right? The cross has become the symbol and has been for a long time the symbol of Christianity. Some people have said the empty tomb should be the symbol of Christianity because the empty tomb symbolizes the resurrected Jesus Christ. Well, I pose to you the symbol of Christianity should be the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people are standing at the tomb and they're looking at the tomb and going, thank you, Lord, you were raised from the dead, that you were resurrected and my sins were forgiven. That is wonderful. That's great. Disciples got it. They understood it. But then Jesus says, get out here and tell everybody. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us to give this witness. I watched a movie called The Grace Card last night. Anybody ever seen that movie yet? The Grace Card? A few of you? How many people seen The Avengers? Come on. Okay. I didn't see The Grace Card till last night, so I stand with you. acting was so-so. You know, it's one of these Christian movies, right? So the acting wasn't something they're going to get an Academy Award for. The message sure earned one. And there was an old pastor who was walking with his grandson who was a pastor. And he says to him, Martin Luther King, Reverend King, used to tell us that Sundays was practice. It was just practice. And Monday through Saturday was the game. And you know, I think the church as a whole spends a lot of time focusing on practice. You know what I'm saying? We practice a lot. Practice, practice, practice. And yet we never get in the game. A lot of you, if you haven't, you should have received. If you didn't receive this email, please get a hold of Sean or myself. We'll get your email address right. But we send the emails out every week, the weekly update. And Pastor Sean sent one out this week that talked about what we're going to be doing on Saturday nights from now on. And there's basically four things. Four Saturdays, we're going to do four things. The first one, whatever you want to do. Okay, last night Eddie and I had Kim and Bobby over, and then we watched The Grace Card. It was really fun. This next week is going to be a time of prayer. We're going to come together in prayer and ministry. Okay, I think we'll do some worship there as well. The third week. We're going to get going. Dun, dun, dun. What I mean by get going is we're going to get out in the streets. Oh, man. Get going. I'll tell you what's going to be interesting is to see how many people show up here to get going. Now, please, don't, I'm not pointing fingers at you or hammering you or whatever. I get scared too. Okay. Remember what I said when God uses you to minister to somebody? That's all that you miss when you don't come to get going. Can you imagine if a whole group of us went to the mall or went somewhere or whatever, we prayed and we asked God to show us some things, and then we just went out and did it, and suddenly people's lives were changed? Can you imagine seeing someone in a wheelchair and having the faith for the Lord to tell you, pray for them. Pray for them to be healed. Oh boy. I'll tell you what, that event would be greater than anything you've ever experienced in these walls. get going. That third Saturday, mark it on your phones, mark it in your calendars. We are going to ask the Lord what he wants us to do and get going, and we're going to get out of these walls, and we're going to do that. And you ask the Lord what role he wants to play you to play. And if he says none, then you might not have heard him right. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Do you realize you can bring liberty to somebody? You could go to the mall, you could be walking down the mall, and the Lord says, to your right, and you look, and there's someone there, standing there, and the Lord is just talking to you about what you need to tell them. And you walk over to them, and you tell them a word from the Lord, and they break down, and they suddenly are willing to listen. You've given somebody liberty. And when we don't do that, when we don't listen, and we don't obey, we are taking the blessings away from so many people. That's the liberty he's talking about. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Your transformation is only complete when you rub off on other people and when you yourself are transformed. Dana was telling me about a very, very rich guy that showed up at the animal shelter. He had some, what was the car outside? A McLaren? I thought that was a new hamburger at McDonald's, but now there you know it. The McLaren. How much for the car, roughly? $246,000? Sean's not going to have one anytime soon. I'm getting the model. $246,000. This guy came from the family that created duct tape. Yeah. Think about that next time. And I bet there was no duct tape on that McLaren. Dana was talking about his cars, and he said, I've got lots of cars. And Dana asked him about a certain car. He says, yeah, I've got this GT, whatever it was. And Dana says, how does it drive? He says, I don't know. Got it 3 months ago. I haven't driven. Do you realize that the value of that McLaren or the value of that other car, whatever, can't even come close to what you've been given? You got it parked in the garage. What are we doing? What are we doing? You know, Kevin had the bow shoot, and Kevin boldly preached the gospel at the bow shoot, and it was wonderful. It was great, and not a lot of people responded. In fact, I don't think anybody right there responded. And I told Kevin, I said, you know, it's amazing how people don't in this world, unless we're dying or something crazy is happening, we won't reach out to God because we don't need God, right? We don't need God when everything's going well. Case in point, 9/11. 9/11 happened. What happened? Churches filled up with people. Why? They were scared. Next week there was less people. The week after that was less people. And then a month or two, most people just went back to doing what they did all the time. But you know something that people can't? They can't just dismiss signs and wonders and miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles. I kept thinking, you know, what if something were to have happened there that God could have manifested a wonderful miracle? And these people stared at that like, what? I just saw that. What's going on over there? See, this is the power that we have. Miracles and signs and wonders were not limited to the New Testament church in the book of Acts. They're given to us. And if we don't push that envelope, and if we don't say, God, you can do miracles, and walk out in faith to do that, then maybe our message might not be as receivable. So I'm just saying that what I just feel the Lord wants to do in our body is to continue to allow us to work in power. Power. Freeing people from strongholds. People being healed, people being transformed and changed inside, addictions cast off. I believe that's what the Lord has for us. The third foundation for believers walks hand in hand with the second one, and that is action. In Acts, I already read 7 through 8, where he says, in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of earth. You realize this was a concentric circles going out, right? Okay, so we have Jerusalem, that's where it starts, right? Judea, Samaria, the whole world. This is the action part of it that we talked about. This is foundational for a believer because God, I tell this to people all the time because I'm convicted about it all the time. God did not save you just to save you. You get that? God did not save you just to save you. He saved you so you could go out and you'd be a testimony for Him to help save other people. Yeah, absolutely. So then the question is, how are you doing? How am I doing? When's the last time you got to lead someone to the Lord? When's the last time you get to give your testimony? When's the last time you gave your testimony to a stranger? Action. You see, because this is how it is. Has your kid ever come home from school and they got some award? Let's say they're like 7 years old and they got some really big award. And they come in and they're just like, oh man, I got... And they look at you and you're like, what? What? What's going on? Blah! They just tell you about the award. I just got student of the month. They just can't help it. It's got to come out. Boom, there it is. That's student of the month. Jesus said we're supposed to be like little children, and I think sometimes it refers to the hope that lies within us. How can we hold that in? How can we not tell people about it? I got to go to Boston this past week, and I got to go to a Red Sox game. Yeah, the Red Sox played. And I left in the eighth inning and wish I hadn't. Those rascals came back from six runs down to win the game. And I was walking down the street back to the hotel. Oh, it was terrible. I was like, oh! We stopped at a bar and stared at the window and kind of looked at watched the Red Sox come back. I'm like, I could have been there. Anyways, regardless of all that, I was with a friend, a guy who I work with, and I was with one of our clients. This guy, it was pretty evident, wasn't a believer. Or he was one of those believers say, well, I believe in God. You know, one of those believers. And I had taken my Whistling Pines hat. Church of Whistling Pines hat that we got given to us on Father's Day. Thank you again, church, for that. I had it on my head. Everybody else had Red Sox hats, but I had the Church of Whistling Pines. And I almost took it off. I said, because I'm thinking, well, I don't want to, you know what, I got this client, and he's probably, you know, he's dropping the F-bomb and different things, and I'd met him before, so I almost took it off before we met them. I'm like, no. Church of Whistling Pines. Because and it was funny how that was a little struggle for me. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not ashamed about what I got, what I believe. Oh, yes, I know it's business, and I'm not supposed to mix business with my personal life. I can't help it. I am who I am. That didn't mean I have to, at the seventh inning stretch after we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game, go, so, Tony, you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. See the hat? But I simply didn't have to laugh at the jokes. I didn't have to participate in some of the things that he was saying. And I could be an example. Yeah, the Lord didn't give me an opportunity or lead me to tell me to say anything to him, but I wore my hat the whole time. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that we handed the hats out. Wear it around. Have people ask you about it. I love some people who get tattoos that have they're interesting, and people go, what's that tattoo mean? Well, let me tell you all about it. That's the bracelets, right? The bracelets they took to the Dominican. What's that bracelet all about? Well, let me tell you all about it. I love what Miss Ina explained that. We have a responsibility to take action. In Romans 10:14, it says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? I love equations. This is an equation. Belief. Okay? You believe? But you can't believe until you've heard it, right? You got to be able to hear it first. And to be able to hear it, you got to have someone tell you about it. Don't mix up preaching with just me and Sean or, you know, Pastor Robert or somebody. Preaching, and doesn't mean you have to sit with someone and hammer them about Jesus. It just means you can talk to them about Jesus. Don't mix up this preaching thing. Well, I'm not a pastor, okay? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Get going. Remember what I talked about? This is the practice field here. Out there is where the game's played. Some of us have never scored a touchdown. We need to score some touchdowns. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news? Well, I didn't say how beautiful are the hands of those who bring good news. Well, I didn't say that. Because feet are what gets you out. Get you out there. You got to use your feet. The only truly effective words and actions are those initiated, motivated, and activated by the Holy Spirit. So if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be motivated because you won't be initiated and you're going to be walking in your own power. That's one of the reasons why we are allowing Him to do whatever He wants to do in this church and praising Him all the way for it. The last foundation for the believer is the promise. And this really comes into play in the last couple of verses. I'll read those. So after Jesus had said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Excuse me. "Men of Galilee," He said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky?" Now, I always read this to be saying that these angels were saying, "Come on, get going. You got a message to preach. Get going." But that's not what they say. They say, "Why do you stand here looking at the sky?" And then they answer the question about why they asked that question in the first place. They say, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way when you have seen the way you have seen Him go into heaven." See, brethren, let's not miss this. What He was basically saying was, you see, you're going too. He's coming back, and you're going to be with Him. He's already promised you that, right? So realize He's coming back. He's coming back, and that should be a great motivation, as I think these angels were saying. He already told you what to do. He's going to come back. That's a promise. That's a promise. If we didn't have that as a promise, brethren, can you imagine how pointless our life might be? The resurrection talks about in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, if we don't believe in the resurrection and the return of Christ, then we are of all people most pitiable. I love that. I pity you, man. I pity the fool. Believe that? No, we have a promise. And that promise should motivate you. And I heard a pastor one time say this, and I think it was very relevant. He said, today the church, the majority of the church, sits around waiting for Jesus to return. And what they should be doing is establishing His kingdom on this earth now. Now. And I every time I hear that and think about it, it convicts me more and more about what I should be doing, what you and I should both be doing with regards to that, because truly, it is a promise that we can hang on to. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang that today, didn't we? I just realized that. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at the tomb, brethren. Look what He says. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, Holy Spirit, right? Until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Brethren, wow! This is great! This is the promise you have. This is the promise I have. And if that doesn't make you shout hallelujah, I don't know what will, right? That's like, oh, wow, that's a promise. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. It's a foundation for every believer to have. It's reserved for you. It's reserved for me. It's reserved for all those who believe. All those believe. Alyssa shared that word, and I love when someone comes up and she started talking. I started smiling. Like, yeah, you need to share that. Because truly, and when she talked about a spotlight, I hope you guys understand, I envisioned one of those huge spotlights, these huge ones that are pointing up in the air, you know, like at Disney and stuff, and they move around, woo, and across and all that stuff. You can see that from anywhere. You can see it from anywhere. Especially on a cloudy day, it's on the clouds. It's so powerful. You can't not see it. That's the kind of spotlight we should have. I'm going to ask that Lynn and Jamie come on up. Because I want to challenge us. I want to challenge two groups of people here. I feel like the Lord is telling me, and I felt this even before the service, somebody in here has just been playing with this belief thing. Just playing. And I don't know who that is, and that's not, this is not a condemnation. This is hopefully a motivation. If not today, then when? You know, all the stuff that I lived for myself before Jesus took a hold of my life, I count as dung. Who said that? Paul said that. Apostle Paul said that. And I don't care what you've done or where you're at. God can take all the garbage that you did and he can renew that and change that. So belief. As we talked about belief, the core belief, all you have to do is you have to come forward and say, I'm done. I'm done walking the line. See, you might think, well, in order for me to, you know, I believe there's God. I believe Jesus Christ, whatever. No. Don't get me wrong. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, or you said it's yours, it's everything. I've been playing church. I've been playing Christian when it's convenient. And maybe you haven't given your life over to Jesus Christ. And this could be the day. If you want it, it's going to be the day. By the way, Sean and I don't sit here and keep score how many people repent. I want everybody to receive salvation. And the question you just have to ask yourself is if not today, then when? I mean, when? And then my challenge for all those who are believers is about tomorrow. I've gone through four foundational principles in this verse, in this passage of Scripture. And if you haven't already figured out, it's not about what you're going to do today in church. It's not. It's what's going to happen when you jump in your car and you drive home, or you drive to the restaurant, or you drive to work the next day. What are you going to do tomorrow? What and how will the belief that you have and the conviction you have in your heart, how is that going to manifest itself to the world around you when you walk out of here? How is it? If you're like me, we all need refreshing and we all need a reset. So as they play for the next few minutes, you are in either of those categories. If you just want to be renewed, realize when you walk down front, no one's looking at you and taking your license plate, okay? If you want a renewal of your spirit, if you want to pray for somebody that they would be renewed, if you're currently on fire for the Lord, then you need to come down here and pray for people who need to get on fire for the Lord. If you want to pray somebody in the kingdom of God, help them accept Jesus Christ, then you can do that too. That's the response today. It's that simple. If you just need prayer for something, you can come down here. We're all gonna pray for a time. But again, today or tomorrow, Let's think about that. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have preserved this amazing book of Acts. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us, and I thank you that through these first 11 verses, you've given us some simple foundations for what you had established in your disciples. We thank you for belief that we can be convicted and we know, and know that we know. We want and we ask for and we yearn for the conviction and the belief these disciples had. Father, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to be on us, convicting us, walking us. And that leads to the action that we need to take, Father. And we celebrate the promise of the fact that you are going to return. But in the meantime, we get to establish your kingdom on this earth. Lord, I pray for the hearts in this room today. I pray for those who have to ask themselves the question, if not today, when? I pray that it would be today, Lord, because the gift that you have to give is so amazing. Help them to receive it today. And Father, for those of us who have to think about tomorrow and what's going to be different tomorrow, what's going to be different in our lives tomorrow, Father, we pray that you would just empower us. That you would just let the Holy Spirit who's already inside of us begin to break forth. Break through the bounds that and the bondage that we have given it, so that he can come out and just begin to shine like the spotlight, like Alyssa talked about. Hallelujah for that. Give the rest of the service over to you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.